welcome to Inside the Artist. My name is Rachel Corman. Man, it's been a minute. I'm so sorry. It's taken me a while to get back to this. And we've been in quarantine for about 6 months now. And I decided it's time. It's time to bring this back. So I reached out to my friends Gracie and Rachel, who are in New York. And they have an album that just was released last Friday called Hello Weakness, You Make Me Strong. And it is so beautiful. If you are looking for some music to just calm the anxiety and all the heaviness that we are dealing with right now, this is the album to put on. It is available now on all the streaming platforms, so definitely check it out. We talk about the making of the record, what they've been up to during quarantine, which involves directing and editing one of their music videos that recently came out, as well as their unique, strong bond that makes them so special. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with Gracie and Rachel. I was saying earlier, I love that you guys are both in yellow.
Mustards, you know. We're branching out a little bit to a little bit of color, but you know, not the full thing just yet.
I know your previous album was more kind of the black and white vibe, and now you're kind of introducing more color. Is that kind of tie in with the new theme of your music?
Yeah, say so. I would say so. I think, you know, we're still doing light and dark, and we're still like building off of, you know, kind of opposites and our opposition, but it's, you know, breaking away from just it being so finite as black and white and being, you know, light yellow, dark yellow, whatever that means for that song or that day. It just kind of like has given us a bit of, more texture, I think, in the music. And, you know,
yeah, I think there's a little bit more color just in the sonics and the way that we were building out instrumentation and the kind of coloring and timbres that we wanted on the record. So we kind of followed the lead of the music.
And did you record this record during quarantine, or was this already in process before everything happened?
It was before. We were like just off of tour, and we were going to go right for about a year and a half. And then we were supposed to kind of come back out of that writing process and tour again. And when we were ready to do that, that's when quarantine sort of happened. So it was kind of like an extension of our already quarantine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now people kind of understand what it feels like maybe to be in this kind of over-involved, you know, working, living, everything relationship that we share and was a big part of the making of this record.
So was this quarantine different from what you guys were already kind of experiencing in your day-to-day life?
Not at all. Exactly the same. I mean, seriously, it kind of does feel that way, other than the fact that other people were social and we would sometimes have to go be social as well, or get to be social. But I mean, no, it was like, it was really, just, I don't know, this isolated thing that we were doing on purpose. And so it's definitely a different feeling that it's not on, you know, by choice anymore. Now it's, you know, we have to be here, but it's an extension of what we were already going through. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And we don't have these other things to maybe look forward to or break us out from this period of isolation. It's just kind of
it's a bleak,
never ending
bleak world.
I know. And it's like, when is touring gonna come back? I mean, the music industry is changing so much.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, feeling really badly for all the beloved venues that are suffering.
Yeah. How has this time been personally for you as well? Like, what challenges have you been through, you know, aside from music, or what have you been feeling during this time?
I think a sense of, I don't know, kind of just what else can we do other than, you know, make art, and that is a really important thing, and that we can't lose sight of that. We have to feel connected with not just, you know, the world around us, but, you know, it starts with one another. And so I think that that's a lot of what the music is, you know, kind of about, accidentally, just because we were in our own isolation before this isolation. And so we were working through our own interpersonal feelings and dramas and all of that, and then figuring out how to, you know, go out into the world and express that through music. And so I think, you know, I hope that this is a time that we can focus in on that and feel grateful for that and just do more of it. We're creating more visuals and
definitely
more, you know, just teaching ourselves new skills as much as we can.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's just like, try to be easy on yourself. You know, I think Gracie and I are very go, go, go. Like, what are we doing next? Like, yeah, and so I think there's been, you know, some nice patience that maybe will roll over into our larger life outside of this time period. And yeah, we're learning a lot, just working on different hobbies and things that give us joy, you know.
What are some of the new hobbies you've learned?
Well, we did a lot of experimenting in the kitchen. That was fun. but yeah, I mean, I'm definitely continuing my producing engineering sort of facility, keeping it up, learning about how to mix, be a better mixer. And Gracie's been doing a lot in the editing, Final Cut film.
Maybe I'm going to hire Gracie on my next project.
Yeah, hire me on your first your next project. I'll just set the bar really low and then we'll be good.
Okay, perfect. No.
Yeah, we had to get creative because we were supposed to shoot a music video out in Joshua Tree in April and that didn't happen. So we had to kind of change course and figure out new ways to film and film just, you know, kind of with us. And so we ended up shooting, you know, videos that were more contained and editing them. So yeah, I had a lot of fun editing one of our recent music videos underneath.
She did underneath.
Yeah, it was great.
You edited that? It's such a great music video, you guys.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was good time.
We were very cold.
It was cold, and it was a good experience. But yeah,
where did you shoot that?
The Provincetown sand dunes
in Cape Cod, or Truro.
It was beautiful. I was wondering that as I was watching it. I was like, I wonder where they shot this.
We actually haven't really told anybody, so you're getting the exclusive information.
Did you guys come up with the idea of like shooting you guys from behind and taking off articles of clothing?
It was an evolution.
Yeah, it's funny, the original concept for a video we were gonna shoot in Joshua Tree was a person walking towards the camera with their, you know, and they're getting closer and closer, and so it was kind of the opposite of that, but we knew we didn't want to be in the film and like for that original concept. And so then when things shifted and we kind of had only ourselves to be in the film, we couldn't be with other people or actors that we were going to have in the film. We decided, how can we be in the film without being in the film? And that just meant turning away. So, but no, it was a natural evolution. We did a lot of trial shots at the, like a Brooklyn salt. We were breaking into this, like, kind of, what are they called?
The, it's like salt, the sanitation department.
Where it was like this
mound of salt.
Big mound of salt. And we were breaking in there and like having, you know, I was filming Rachel, you know, walking up. And then we started noticing cops were showing up after we had done a couple of trials. And we were like, okay, maybe we're not going to be able to keep doing this. So we had the opportunity to go to the Cape and shoot there. But yeah, it was really fun.
And is this your first single off your new album?
That is the third.
Okay.
Trust, Ideas, and then Underneath, and then Sidelines. So yeah, we've had 4 singles out, and then the full record on the 18th of September.
Let's talk about the record.
Okay, fine.
Let's talk about it. It's why we're here, right? To catch up and to talk about the record. It's called Hello Weakness, You Make Me Strong. So tell me what that title means.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, you know, hopefully there's a lot underneath that title, but for kind of its incubation, there's a lot in like our dynamic in our opposition and just how we, you know, I think we have different strengths and different weaknesses, and we really are quite different people in the way that we approach a lot of things, not just like musically and, you know, with our backgrounds, but emotionally. And I think that we learned a lot through living in this confined environment and still continue to, of just how we deal with things differently and how, you know, I can really use a lot of Rachel's strengths that I, you know, aren't mine, but.
And vice versa.
Yeah. So I kind of think like we figured that out from each other and then realized that, you know, embracing our weaknesses and seeing, oh, Rachel wants that element of me and I want that element of her, but how can I use that in a positive way and be grateful for it and grow from it and dance with it when it's, you know, maybe more challenging to do so. So I think that there's kind of a twisted combination of figuring out where you have, you know, your strengths and figuring out what your challenges are and using them both to fuel you forward and not suppress those things, I think, when it's difficult.
The theme I got when listening to this record was just about kind of overcoming your weaknesses or finding strength in it and overcoming obstacles. And were there anything like specific in your guys' life that you were dealing with that you were inspired to write about?
Trust was like the first song we wrote, really, or one of the first songs we wrote. And I think it was kind of a combination of seeing a lot of, you know, women and just people coming forward. Christine Bozzi Ford was coming forward with her testimony when we were in the really incubation phases of writing like a while ago. And then we picked back up our writing and kind of were having some of those themes come out in the music, just about trusting ourselves, you know, despite any doubts that we might have, and using our voices in the industry with producers and people we've been working with, and feeling like we just need to trust ourselves and not rely on other people to tell us how we should sound or, you know, what they need from us, but more figure out what we need from us first. And that could be a really hard thing to do. I think that's why we're grateful to have each other. A lot of the time we can kind of say, keep going, when, you know, sometimes we don't have that self-trust ourselves.
Or I support your decision in not wanting to work with this person. Let's do that together.
Go.
Do you guys have to agree? Do you guys have some sort of agreement of, hey, if one of you wants to work with one producer, you both have to agree? Like, is that kind of your deal?
I think we're just both. I mean, we have a team. And
there's no written agreement.
There's no written agreement, but we both, you know, I think we're open to trying things. And then, you know, we can get to a point where maybe the other person isn't seeing that, like, hey, we don't have to do this. This isn't making you happy. And sometimes the other person can see that more objectively. Like, I can't see it, and she can see it when I can't, and vice versa. And I think we'd always trust that the other person, we both want the same thing. And so I think there is like an intuitive feeling of,
we'll always get on the same team. You know, we need to feel like the other person is, we're in accordance with one another. And if somebody's not, you know, feeling the room,
we'll generally feel it. Pretty similarly, though, I think if we're in the studio.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Or respect that the other person doesn't
feel safe.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys have this sort of relationship where you can kind of read each other's minds at this point, right? Like, you live together, you work together, you've been friends for a long time. I mean, is that just kind of what happens between the two of you and why you, like, work together so well?
I don't know. Let's test it. Gracie, what am I thinking right now?
You're thinking about edamame.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
No offense to you, Corman. thinking of soybeans.
He's distracted in the interview, thinking about what she's going to cook later. No, it's really interesting because I think that, like, when we're just together, just the two of us in our isolated environment, we can, like, be pitted against each other in a way, or, like, not know that we're in so much alignment that we really are. Not, like, pitted.
We just can't notice it.
We bring different things, and so it can feel like a volley and not so much like, you know, we're both kind of hitting the same ball, if that makes any sense. I don't know what I'm saying. But I think that, like, when we go into environments with other people or other collaborators, that's when we really see how kind of, like,
unified
we are, and how we don't need to talk about what we're feeling because we just intuitively know. And it's like there's just a look, and there's an understanding of where the other person is going to pick up slack, and the other person needs to, you know, do whatever role that they need to do in that moment. There's no conversation that needs to happen. But I think it's good for us to realize that and get that every once in a while, because you can forget when you're in such a, like, isolated scenario with somebody that, you know, maybe we, you know, oh yeah, we are really in alignment. Because when it's just you and somebody else, it's almost like, you know, you kind of, the lines are blurred. You don't know where you begin and where they end, and what to really feel sometimes.
And I think musically we have a pretty kind of telepathic narrative that exists, where, you know, Gracie will go to the piano and I'll sit down next to her and maybe not know exactly what she's singing about or where it's specifically coming for, but maybe I can interpret it with, like, a string melody or some other vocal melody or whatever, you know, and vice versa. I mean, I've been creating some, like, instrumental tracks and mumbling through a story that I can't quite tangibly put words to. And then Gracie will just come in with this wonderful poem that is like, wow, you just, like, are so in there. You get exactly the way that I was thinking and what I'm trying to work through. And
that's really beautiful.
I just feel really grateful for, because I feel a weakness of mine is that, like, confronting of the conversation with words. I think I'm better expressing myself through sound, and I think Gracie's good with her words. And so,
yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, in the incubation stages of our music, I think I would write a lot of, you know, like the bones of some kind of a song and bring it to Rachel, and she would come bring her violin parts, and I would just always be amazed at, like, how did she know what I was trying to say? And I had played with other string players before, and I always had to tell them how to express, like, what I was feeling, or it just, they never intuitively kind of got it. And that's a weird thing to be able to say, because how can I tell you that whatever she played on the violin was what I meant? That's kind of an intangible thing, but it's just a feeling of, like, that's exactly what I meant. And I'm just so grateful for that. And it's a really special thing when that is kind of an unspoken, like, you know, kind of relationship between us. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting thing that's really nice.
Yeah, that's very beautifully said and incredibly rare, I would imagine.
I hope so. I hope we're rare.
Well, I think that's what's so special about you girls, you know what I mean? And you've been friends for a long time. We should talk about how you guys met in a dance class, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the story. It's a true story. But
it definitely is. Now they're not going to believe us.
I know. That's okay. We met in a dance class. We were just wanting to be in a dance class, and we didn't really know each other. And the teacher asked us, you know, who were the musicians in the class? They asked, you know, for a show of hands. And we were like the only two people that raised our hands. Mm-hmm. So it became kind of this assignment, because she wanted live music for the dance that semester. And she said, could you guys go home and write a song that scores this dance? And it was like, no.
And we're like, we're not in a music class.
We want to dance. But it was like an arranged marriage kind of collaboration. And I don't know if we would have gotten there without it. So I'm grateful to it today. But, you know, in the moment, we were kind of forced on assignment to finish this song. And then it became, you know, something I think we've been saying lately is, like, we were really spoiled because our first show together was playing to, like, an auditorium of screaming high school students, you know, and it was a really fun, fabulous thing. And I think we got kind of addicted to that performance element of, you know, performing for people. I think a lot of our collaboration has always been performance driven. So,
yeah. And, like, you know, being a classical musician, the clapping is very contained at a recital. So it was really exciting to have all these people screaming and
that's
like using their voices. And I was like, wow, people can react like that.
That's how we got her.
It's always been so tame in the classical community.
Stole her from the classical community. She's going to need a bunch of screaming teenagers. That's all it takes.
I never thought about it that way.
And you're still getting that reaction from people, right? People are still clapping and cheering for you.
It's a little sad right now in quarantine. You know, we've been clapping for each other a lot. But, you know, because we don't have live audiences, we see the applause, you know, in the written, in the text boxes, and that's a really nice feeling.
Well, before all this happened, you were getting lots of applause.
We love applause. Thanks. Yeah. Applause is lovely. But yeah, we were on tour and playing more often than we are now. So
have you guys always felt that connection to one another? Like, did you feel that when you were younger?
I think we just really love to perform and, like, curate a show. We, even after that year that we met in the dance class, we moved on and continued to be in dance class, and we choreographed a piece our senior year of high school that was very, you know, dignified roles, and we had all this music involved. Because
I think that we felt like we were both really serious about doing that in a way where we weren't, it wasn't like we knew I feel really, like, connected to you or you feel connected to me. It was more just like, we both knew we had this vision that
it's like a passion.
Yeah. We wanted to execute it and do it really, like, you know, rehearsed and fine tuned. And we're not jammers. You know, we need to, like, rehearse for a show. So I think we would get really into the minutiae of, like, prepping for something. And that was kind of what our magnetism was in a way early on.
Yeah. We always know the other person's going to, like, give it their all.
Yeah.
Show up.
Do you guys think you would still performing music separately if you guys hadn't have met?
I think so. Definitely. Yeah. I think that's hopefully a good thing, though, that, you know, you kind of know. It's like when you're in a relationship, you're not supposed to date somebody unless you're whole, right? You can't look for your other half to complete you. I don't know if that's not the saying, but I think it's like, you know, you want to feel like the other person is strong in what they're doing and that they're only going to build on something, not, you know, complete it or you're going to rely on it or need it. It's just going to hopefully make it better than it already was without fulfilling it.
I think we have our independent sort of paths and strengths and things that we have been nurturing over the years, and then it's when they come together that it makes sense. More sense.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the new record label you guys are a part of.
Yeah.
Righteous Babe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys toured with Annie DeFranco, and that's how you guys got on her label, or tell me what happened in that process.
Yeah. She swooped us up, took us on the road, and she said, "You're never going back."
The first show.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just magic. No, we toured with her for a couple of years.
Many shows.
Many, many shows. I think there were many trials, if I'm being honest. We had to pass some serious tests. No, I mean, I think it was just a bond that fortified and a performative bond. We played a lot with her on stage, and it just became a nice natural fit, and we feel really just empowered by her as a woman on the road doing her thing and in this industry, and uncompromisingly so. She's not waiting for permission from anybody, and I think
started her own label.
I think we were really moved by that. So yeah.
What have you learned from her?
Absolutely nothing. She's just,
she's a real dud,
Yeah, she's a real dud.
Sound checks.
I think sound check was this moment. It sounds kind of simple, but we would just watch her in the wings at sound check, and we would sometimes have different audio engineers. We traveled with our own sound, for some of the tours, but sometimes we didn't. And you get a lot of people, who are telling you how you should sound when we've been crafting our work and our music and our sound for so many years. And we feel that we know how we want to be represented and presented. And to have somebody that night of the show in front of 2,000 people get to decide what your sound is, for all those people to experience just based off of a minutia of turning this up or down, it's really devastating.
And it's usually of the male species.
It's often of the male species, yes. But we just saw Ani going up on stage, and I mean, she travels with her whole crew, of course, but she would just articulate the way she knows what frequencies should be where, and, she just knows how to get exactly what she needs and wants. And it's because she studied it, and she's, versed in it, and she reads about it, and she, she's been taken advantage of in those ways, and she decided that she wasn't going to anymore. And so I think learning her verbiage and her command, of a room was a really empowering thing for us to just, learn how we wanted to be more prepared and be ready to not have anybody else be able to
stick up for our art,
take that away from us. Yeah.
Damn
yeah.
straight. And did she have a big influence on your new album, or did she kind of give you free rein to kind of be creative on your own, make the music you guys wanted to make?
No, we made the music we wanted to make. She was very supportive from afar, and it wasn't a super involved process with that element of it. But yeah, we were very much in our own bubble. Nobody else was really around for a lot of the incubation of the record. I've used the word incubation maybe 12 times in this interview, but that's okay.
Well, I can go back and count for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll count as I edit this, and I'll let you know.
Incubation station. Incubation station, yeah.
Which we're in right. We're in it right now.
Oh, no, that's what it feels like. This is our womb, and we're ready to get out and birth the record.
I feel you. I've been in this incubation station for 6 months. I'm ready to get out, too.
Yeah, I feel you.
It makes sense why you would use that word. It's kind of the times, right?
I guess. That's good. Yeah, I don't know why it's coming up more than it usually does for me, but...
Your first record came out, it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2017. And it came out, it hasn't come out. It's coming out, 2020. It's 2020. Out, it's going.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 3 years, because I think I met you around that time.
Yeah, I think so. Did we have a record out when we met you, though?
No, you hadn't yet. I think you were on tour before it came out, and that's what
I think so, too. How were we even planning to sell merch without a record on tour? What were we doing?
I think you did a good job. I think you guys had fans. You had people buying your merch. People were into you.
That's good. Good answer. Thanks for your support.
If you don't remember, let me remind you.
Fabulous.
Dreaming of shows past.
Yes.
How is this record different than your previous one?
I mean, sonically, I do think that we are playing with a lot more texture, color, instrumentation, orchestration. Going in, I kind of was like, all right, I kind of want to have some grooves and keep them going and get some beats going and layer some synths in and get
very lush with the string arrangements, but also not overplay. That was something I think we really focused in on. Like, I have always seen myself as being a violinist, so naturally I would be like, okay, I should be playing violin all the time because that's what I am, you know? But I think with this record, I was trying to be a little bit more forgiving of, like, maybe you can play the cello, or maybe you don't have to play anything at all. Let's let sing Gracie, more. Let's have, I can sing more.
Start, I heard your voice more in this. I could hear your voice, Rach, in this much more than the first album. I love your voices together.
Oh, thank you.
Yay, thanks.
So yeah, I think it was just like going through that process of stripping away, you know, finding what, how can we say more with less, and also expanding our understanding of like orchestration, and yeah, make it a little more colorful.
Yeah, I mean, I think because what Rachel's saying is also like an evolution, just from we were more of a piano violin duo, and we had a kick drum. And I think now, if right. you were to see the live set, you know, Rachel's a lot more active playing the electronic drum pads, and we have, you know, a little more vocoder things going on, and pedals and fun experimental, you know, hopefully sounds that are bringing a bit more than just a piano and a violin. And yeah, I think making that departure to a little bit more of a colorful palette, while still, of course, you know, staying true to our instruments, but not believing that they are the only things that we have to lean on, I think has been really freeing for us in this process.
Mm-hmm.
But still a lot of anxiety, similar themes in that way, but yeah, hopefully evolving. Yeah. And it's still us. It's
just, I like, think you guys hide it well. I don't ever sense anxiety from either of you. You must hide it well.
Well, aren't those like what the addicts are like?
You know? Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a true, like, that's a true drug addict.
Really,
right?
Good addict.
We're true anxiety addicts because nobody has any clue. We're hiding it well. That's good.
Does writing music though help you when you are in those anxious states, because you're able to kind of get out your thoughts that you're having?
Yeah,
definitely. I think it's like the only way sometimes. I think that the only way sometimes I can personally work through something, and or we can work through something, is by sitting down and just fleshing it out. Because sometimes I don't think that, you know, we can do that so much elsewhere. It's like we need that music to sometimes help kind of calm.
I mean, Gracie doesn't know this, but sometimes I just, you know, egg on an argument and just keep it going. And because I know when I leave the room and come back, she'll just have written a whole song about
wow.
it.
Good tactic, Rach. Very good tactic.
Terrible. We're going to have to talk after this.
But no, in all seriousness, I will say, I think that Gracie uses her songwriting as a way of processing her emotions, or like, I don't know, confronting a conversation.
Therapy.
Yeah, it's like therapy. Notes to selves, you know, so...
I should try songwriting. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's great. It is.
Sounds like a good idea.
It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's free compared to therapy.
True story. There is a song on the album, though, that deals with a conflict you guys had, correct? Speak?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when she left the room. And then I started writing something.
That's when I egged her on, because I needed her to really bring a song.
It's like,
to the
I'm
table.
Ready for my song.
Yeah, I needed a song written for me, to me, about us. No. Yeah.
You guys want to share kind of what happened in that moment, or what prompted the song?
It's so funny. People keep trying to get like a story out of that song, and we had a big argument. We can't really remember what it was about.
I don't remember which is. I think the lesson in itself, you know,
right.
like small, petty things, but, you know.
I think the general thing was that I'm very chatty, if you can't tell, and Rachel's a little quieter, and sometimes, you know, that can be hard in an argument for her, because, you know, I'll be, like, just, like, expressing
wanting
all
to get,
my feelings.
Wanting to get in going.
Come on, and, you know, help me figure this out. Let's figure this out. Let's, you know, whatever.
And I get overwhelmed, and Rachel, then I sort of shut down.
And when she shuts down, that makes me even crazier. So, you know, it's like that kind of, you know, feeling of just not being able to communicate when you really want to. And so that day, I just, like, left, I think, in, like, a huff. Like, I'm getting out of here. I just need to take a walk.
I remember you leaving.
I was frustrated because I was like, well, just spit it out or say something. And so then I left, and then I came back, and she had this gorgeous, you know, like kind of skeleton of a song that was like really just on the piano and a melody and words of, you know, even if my mouth can't speak up, I know I have it in my heart. And it was just a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. The tongue tied is really how it feels.
Oh, that's
feels.
What it was. Yeah.
Like, I get kind of anxious and I judge my emotions and my opinions. So if I'm judging them, like, that means I don't have the confidence to say it to somebody else. You know, when you're in a debate, you should be able to stand and stick behind, you know, what you're feeling and thinking. And I don't know, that's hard for me to do if I'm confused myself. So anyway, the song came out of more of just like the big picture of what this collaboration and partnership is to me, rather than who threw the vase and who said what, you know.
There was no vase thrown, to set the record straight.
Oh, was it? I was hoping there'd be something thrown, something
broken.
That's what
we gotta give them something.
That's what somebody said. They said, who threw the vase? You know, we just want to know who threw the vase. And we're like, oh God, we should come up with a vase story, but
no throwing.
No vase throwing, unfortunately. But I think it was a helpful song. I think a lot of the songs that I wrote lyrically come from like an overstimulated. Like, I give my emotions too much weight, as Rachel was just saying. She judges her emotions, puts them in a box, and doesn't think they're worth confronting all the time. I confront my emotions like way too much when I should put them away probably and not give them so much, you know, not entertain them so much, because I think that that's how they can get themselves into trouble. And so I think, yeah, just that opposition of like how Rachel processes and how I process, I think that's where Hello Weakness, You Make Me Strong kind of comes into play, with just the ways in which we both can pick up a little bit more of what the other is, you know, throwing down. I would love to be able to compartmentalize some of these emotions that I are just running free, and I think Rachel in that song
more courageous
wanted to face them more. So it was just like an interesting kind of dynamic.
Have you guys both kind of change or balance each other out from writing this album, like learning those things about yourselves?
We still need the songs.
Yeah. Me too. I was very calm when I was listening to this album. Can I just say, I listened to it a couple times. I listened to it again on my walk this morning, and it just made me very calm and at ease. So that's why I think it's interesting that you guys say, you know, you each deal with your own anxieties with different things, but your music is very calming and soothing.
That's awesome. Well, that's really cool to hear. And I think, like, if there's any small reason for that, it's just that we did kind of need the songs to calm ourselves down in a way. And the songs, I think, taught us, as maybe cheesy as that sounds, like, they taught us a lot more about how we can deal with these difficult moments, you know, than we can just ourselves. Mm-hmm. So
what are you guys hoping to do once this album's out? What's the next step for you? Is it, you know, still writing more music while we're in quarantine? Is it just kind of chilling out for a bit? What do you guys plan on doing?
No chill, never.
We're looking for, you know, those opportunities in New Zealand where we can go and play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can we play?
Right. Tour. I mean, I think we'll be writing, because I think we just will be, and we have a lot of B-sides that'll hopefully come out, and creating more visuals and creating more, you know, different kinds of artistic forms of expression will be a part of us. But I think, like, we just want to get this music out in some new ways, and we're kind of following the lead of the world in a way too, figuring out what that will mean.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? The future is unknown.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the Gloria Steinem story before we go? Didn't you guys perform with her on stage?
We shared bill with her a couple of times. Yeah, she's a wonderful woman. If you haven't heard, I'm sure you know all about her.
I'm sorry, who? Who is she?
Ms. Steinem. We've been friends with the band Betty, and they are a fabulous feminist rock group, and they kind of took us under their wing when we first moved to New York, and we had no management, we had no, you know, team or anybody really helping us out, and they had us open their shows that they have Gloria Steinem also a part of, and she's a big part in the middle of each show where she comes out and she does her speech about 10 things that, you know,
she wants
for the next year, and it's a really beautiful thing. So,
or
yeah,
I think she's giving up.
We've shared a stage in a green room with Gloria Steinem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what was that like?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure.
Mesmerizing. No, you know, you kind of just like, don't stare.
Yeah, don't stare, but let's talk to her, because we're sharing the same chips.
Yeah, and can we...
She's really a calm force, though. I feel like she's just like what she seems like. Yeah. She's just a really human.
Did she give you any feedback on your music? Did she love it?
She loved it.
I'm sure. I'm sure she did.
I don't know. I think we blacked out. I have no idea what she really said.
Let's just say she loved it.
I think she did. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the story I heard.
That's the story.
You have like an online party or something, right? You have like an album party you're doing?
Yes, Tuesday. Please join us. The 22nd of September will be live on the Facebook.
6 p.m. Pacific Standard, yep. 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's all the information. So you just go to our Facebook page or Righteous Babes Facebook page, and they'll have it there too. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, we can interact in some way with people. It'll be really strange to just be the two of us here, but we hope that we can say hello. So say hello if you're there.
And we have some music videos to come as well, so keep your eyes open.
I'm excited. Did you guys shoot and edit these as well?
Absolutely not. No. No, we really didn't.
Nothing to do
with
us.
We did one in quarantine, and that was enough. But no, we had some wonderful collaborators on a video coming out soon that's a really different thing for us. It's a kind of a documentary-style music video, and then a piece with another dancer that's really beautiful, and we hope everybody loves, but you'll see it soon.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, congrats, girls. I'm so excited for this new album. I was like, I saw you releasing a new album. I was like, let's come on, let's talk about this, because it's been a while. And
it's good to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this was lovely.
Hopefully we can be on the same coast sometime soon and go out for a hello.
I know, I would love that. Yeah. And tell everyone where they can find your album on September 18th.
September 18th, Righteous Babe Records. It'll be everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all the things. So, Righteous Babe.
Yeah.
And you're at Gracie and Rachel on the socials, right?
We're at Gracie and Rachel on the socials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great talking to you girls. Good luck. I'm so excited. Everyone listen. It's so good. And lots of love.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
And that concludes my interview with Gracie and Rachel. I really hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation. I'm going to leave you with their song Trust, which is on the album. And thanks so much for listening to Inside the Artist. Trust myself.